create a motto with ideas ignite. From dreams to designs, we bring them to life. For creators, for makers, all in one place. Join the futures at the surface.
Create, create, connect, and watch it grow. Your vision's waiting at Create-O-Moto.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive with us. Today we'll be exploring the fascinating journey of a product's life cycle, from its very beginning to its eventual decline.
It's a process that's full of twists and turns, but understanding it can give you incredible insights, whether you're a business owner or just someone who wants to understand how the world of products works.
Okay, so to kick things off, let's imagine a product's life as a journey, maybe like launching a rocket into space. What would you say that first stage is like?
Well, the first stage, the introduction stage, that's like the blast off. It's all about potential and new beginnings, but it's also a really vulnerable time. Think about all the investment that goes into creating a product, the research, the development, the manufacturing, all for a product that the market hasn't even seen yet.
And sales are probably pretty slow at this point, right? I mean, you're trying to convince people to buy something they might not even know they need.
Exactly. You're trying to build awareness and generate buzz. That's why targeted marketing is so crucial in this introduction stage. You have to reach those early adopters, you know, the folks who are always eager to try the latest and greatest thing.
Oh, yeah, the early adopters. Mm-hmm. They're like the pioneers of the consumer world.
Yeah.
So you got to convince them, but then there's also the whole pricing strategy to figure out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are a couple of paths you can take. There's penetration pricing, where you set a lower price initially to attract a wider audience and gain market share quickly.
Makes sense. Kind of undercutting the competition from the get-go.
Exactly. But then there's also premium pricing. That's where you position your product as something exclusive and desirable, which can help you recoup development costs faster.
So right from the start, you have some pretty big decisions to make. It's a high-stakes game. But let's say you navigate this introduction stage successfully. What happens next? A rocket has cleared the launch pad. What's next?
Then we move into the growth stage. This is where things start to get really exciting. Sales pick up, word of mouth spreads, and your product starts to gain traction. You're picking up speed and gaining altitude.
But I bet this is also when the competition really starts to heat up.
You got it. The growth stage is like a magnet for competitors. They see your success and they want a piece of the action.
So how do you stay ahead of the game when everyone's trying to muscle in on your success?
This stage is all about evolution and refinement. You need to really listen to what your customers are saying, make improvements to your product, and find ways to stand out from the crowd. You've convinced people to try your product. Now you have to convince them to choose your product over all the others.
Building a strong brand identity becomes super important at this stage, right? You've got to give people a reason to stay loyal to your product.
Absolutely. Brand loyalty is key. Okay, so let's keep going with our rocket analogy. We've blasted off, we've gained altitude, and now we're reaching that peak.
We're hitting the maturity stage. Our rocket has reached a stable orbit. What's happening now?
The maturity stage is the plateau of the product life cycle. This is where your sales reach their highest point, but that growth starts to level off.
Because everyone who wanted your product already has it.
Right. The market becomes saturated. Plus, you still have all those competitors we talked about, and they're fighting tooth and nail for every last customer.
Sounds like a pretty intense battleground.
It can be. This is where we often see those price wars erupt, which can honestly be pretty brutal for everyone involved.
So what's the key to survival in this stage?
Innovation. You need to constantly find ways to keep your product fresh, exciting, and relevant. Think of Coca-Cola, right? They've been around forever, but they're always coming up with new flavors, new marketing campaigns, new ways to stay top of mind. They never let themselves get stale.
That's a great example. They're not resting on their laurels, so complacency is a killer, even for the giants. But what happens when even the most innovative companies start to see those sales slip? What happens when our rocket starts to, well, descend?
That's the decline stage. It's inevitable, but it's not necessarily the end of the story.
There's still hope. Tell me more.
Definitely. There are different paths a company can take when faced with the decline stage. They could decide to discontinue the product, cut their losses, and move on to something new.
Or maybe try to sell the product to another company. I've seen that happen sometimes.
Yeah, that's another option. Or, and this is pretty interesting, they can try to breathe new life into the product, rebrand it, add some new features, target a whole new audience. Think about how personal computers evolved. Laptops and tablets took over, but desktop computers didn't disappear entirely. They adapted.
So even in decline, there's room for reinvention and adaptation. It's not game over. It's a new challenge.
Exactly. The decline stage can be tough, but it can also be a chance to get creative and show some resilience.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here, from the excitement of launch to the potential pivots of decline. It's been quite a ride. But before we go any further, let's take a step back and really unpack what this means for us as consumers.
That's a great point. Understanding the product lifecycle isn't just about business strategy. It's about making smarter decisions as consumers.
And that's what the deep dive is all about, equipping you with the knowledge to navigate the world of products and markets.
So stick with us. In the next part of our deep dive, we're going to explore some real-world examples of how the product lifecycle plays out in different industries. And we'll reveal how understanding these stages can help you become a more savvy shopper, making informed decisions about when to buy, what to buy, and how to get the most value for your money.
It's all about making those smart choices. Welcome back, everyone. Before the break, we laid out kind of like the roadmap of a product's journey, from its hopeful launch to its maybe graceful exit. Now, let's actually drive that route and see how these stages play out in real life.
Absolutely. Theory's great, but it really hits home when you see how it shapes the things we use and experience every single day.
Exactly. So let's dive into something we can all relate to: music. I mean, everyone loves a good tune, but the way we listen to it has transformed so much over the years.
Oh, it totally has. It's a perfect reflection of the product lifecycle. Remember vinyl records? They were king for decades.
A classic example of a product in that mature stage.
Right. But then came cassette tapes. They were portable, affordable.
Oh man, cassettes. Those were the days. Making mixtapes, painstakingly choosing every song. They really changed things up, didn't they?
They did. Cassettes just rocketed through that growth stage. They were everywhere. And while that was happening, vinyl started to, well, fade a little.
Then boom, CDs hit the scene. With their super clear sound and longer lifespan, suddenly everyone needed a CD player.
CDs were like the peak of innovation back then. They took over the market pretty quickly. Cassettes started to decline, and vinyl, well, kind of found its own little niche corner. But just as CDs were getting comfy in that maturity stage, another revolution was brewing.
The digital music revolution. Remember downloading songs online like it was a brand new thing? And then came streaming services like Spotify and Apple Music. They changed everything.
Right. It shows how a big innovation can just reshape an entire industry. CDs went from the top of the world to facing a steep decline, all because of these streaming services that were booming in their growth phase.
And what about vinyl? I feel like it made a comeback.
It did. People rediscovered it. It shows that decline isn't always the end. Sometimes it leads to reinvention. Okay, let's shift gears to another industry that's constantly changing. Video games.
Yeah. Talk about innovation. I mean, video games have come such a long way.
Video games are like a masterclass in the product lifecycle. Think about those early days, arcades packed with games like Pac-Man. Every quarter you dropped in was a sign of an industry just starting out in its introduction stage.
I spent so much time in arcades as a kid. It was such a social thing.
For sure. Then came those home consoles, Atari, Nintendo. It brought those arcade games right into your living room. That was the start of a major growth phase. Each new console pushed the limits of technology and what games could do.
Getting my first Nintendo was the best. It felt like a whole new world had opened up.
And the innovations kept coming. CD-ROMs meant games could be bigger and more complex. Online gaming connected people across the world. Mobile gaming put the power of games right in our pockets. All these advancements pushed the industry forward, while the older stuff, the older platforms, gradually faded away.
And now we've got virtual reality, augmented reality, esports. It's crazy how far it's come.
It shows how human creativity, that desire to create immersive experiences, just keeps pushing things forward. The video game industry is always evolving, constantly reminding us that the product lifecycle is dynamic, not static. Okay, let's try one more industry before we move on.
Fashion.
Oh yeah, fashion. Talk about a fast-paced world. Trends come and go so quickly now. It's like the life cycle of a fashion trend is shorter than ever.
You're so right. The fashion world is a perfect example of how social media and celebrity culture can speed up the product lifecycle. That constant need for something new, it's a whirlwind.
I think fast fashion has played a huge role too.
Totally. Trends cycle through so quickly,
right,
and people are bombarded with new styles constantly. It's a never-ending cycle of wanting something, getting it, and then, well, moving on to the next thing.
Right. Fast fashion has shortened that maturity stage for so many clothes and accessories. It raises some important questions about sustainability and the environment, too. But just from a product lifecycle perspective, it's wild how quickly things move through those stages.
Okay, so we've seen how this all plays out in different industries, from music to video games to the ever-changing world of fashion. But let's bring it back to our listeners. How does knowing about this life cycle empower them as consumers?
That's the big question, right? We've talked theory, we've seen examples, but the real value is how you can use this knowledge.
Give us the insider tips. How can we use this to become better shoppers?
Well, one of the best things is understanding how prices change over time. If you know where a product is in its life cycle, you can figure out the best time to buy.
Okay, now we're talking. I love a good bargain. So when's the sweet spot for finding those deals?
Well, prices are usually at their highest when a product is brand new, in that introduction stage. Companies are trying to recoup their costs, and everyone's eager to get their hands on it. Think about those new tech gadgets.
Right, gotta have the latest and greatest, even if it costs a bit more.
Exactly. But as the product moves into the growth stage, more competition pops up, and prices start to drop. That's when you can start to find good deals, especially if you're a little patient.
Patience is a virtue, especially when it comes to saving money. What about when a product is in the maturity stage? That's when we see those big sales and clearance events, right?
You got it. During that maturity stage, sales level off and companies are really battling it out. They offer discounts and promotions to try to win customers over.
So it's like bargain hunting season. But what about the decline stage? Are products in decline worth buying?
They can be. You can find some amazing deals in the decline stage as companies clear out their inventory. But there are a few things to think about.
Like what? What should we be careful about?
The biggest thing is support and parts. If a product is being discontinued, finding replacement parts or getting it repaired can be tricky.
Oh, good point. I wouldn't want to end up with something that I can't fix if it breaks.
Right. And also, will that product still be useful in a few years? Technology changes fast, so something in decline might become obsolete sooner than you think.
So it's about weighing the pros and cons, balancing those potential savings against the risks of buying something that might not last.
Exactly. And that's where understanding the product life cycle really pays off. It helps you make those informed choices based on your own needs, what you prioritize, and your budget.
I'm seeing how knowing this can apply to so many things we buy. It's about being smart, getting good value, and understanding the bigger picture.
Yep, it's about more than just individual products. In the last part of our deep dive, we'll explore some even bigger implications of the product lifecycle. We'll look at how companies use this knowledge to come up with winning strategies, and we'll see how it can even give you a deeper understanding of the world around us.
It's all connected. So stick with us for the final part of our product lifecycle adventure. Welcome back for the final part of our product lifecycle deep dive. We've explored the journey of individual products, but before we wrap up, I want to zoom out a little. How does this life cycle idea apply to entire industries or even like the whole economy?
That's a great question. It takes us to a bigger conversation about innovation and how things evolve over time. Just like products industries go through their own life cycles. They have periods of growth, they mature, and sometimes they even decline.
Okay, so it's like there's this giant wheel of industries and each one is at a different point on its own life cycle journey. Can you give us an example of this in action?
Sure, let's look at the automotive industry. About 100 years ago, it was just getting started. Cars were new, expensive, not something most people could afford. That was the introduction stage.
And then Henry Ford came along with the Model T. He changed everything, right? Made cars more affordable for everyone.
Exactly. That was the beginning of a huge growth spurt for the car industry. Tons more cars were made, prices went down, and owning a car became a symbol of freedom and progress. It was a time of amazing innovation and growth.
And for a long time, the industry just seemed to keep growing and growing. New models, new features, new technologies all the time.
Yeah, the automotive industry had this long and successful period of maturity. It became super important to the global economy. But lately, we've seen signs that things are changing again, maybe even a turning point in the life cycle.
You mean like with electric vehicles, self-driving cars, and all those new ideas about how we get around? It feels like we're on the edge of a whole new era of transportation.
You got it. Those innovations are shaking things up in a big way. It's making the traditional car industry adapt. Some people say this is the start of a decline for cars that run on gas, while others see it as a transformation.
It's exciting, but kind of scary too, realizing that even huge industries like that can be disrupted by new technologies and changing tastes.
Definitely. And this is where the idea of creative destruction comes in. There's an economist named Joseph Schumpeter, and he talked about how innovation can destroy old ways of doing things, but at the same time, it creates new opportunities and new growth.
So it's not always a bad thing when an industry declines. It can actually be a good thing for progress.
Right. Think about what happened to horse-drawn carriages. It was hard for the people involved, but it made way for the automobile, which totally changed how we get around. Same with typewriters. They declined, and that helped make way for personal computers and the whole digital world we have today.
So the product life cycle, even when it leads to decline, is part of how we move forward. It's all about adapting to new possibilities.
Exactly. It's a cycle of creation, growth, maturity, and decline. But inside that cycle are the seeds of new ideas and new opportunities for growth. It's how things evolve, driven by human creativity and our desire for a better way of life.
That's a really cool way to think about it. It's not just about products. It's about how humans constantly strive to make things better and more efficient.
Exactly. It shows us that change is going to happen no matter what. And being open to new ideas is how we thrive as individuals and as societies.
That's an awesome takeaway for our listeners. We've explored so much, from the practical side of shopping to the bigger picture of how industries and the economy work.
It's been a true deep dive. Hopefully everyone listening now has a better understanding of this fascinating cycle and how it affects us all.
And hey, next time you're checking out a product, think about its journey. Where is it on that life cycle path? What made it evolve? What might happen to it in the future?
Keep those questions in mind as you shop and make choices. Stay curious, stay informed, and keep exploring this amazing world of products.
And that's a wrap for this episode of The Deep Dive. Thanks for coming along on this journey with us. We'll see you next time for another adventure.